Finishing today with the Laodicean Church of Revelation, chapter 3. Tomorrow, my plan is the political situation between Israel and Turkey, because that's where these seven ecclesias will be located right before the tribulation begins. Staging ground, I've called it, in Turkey for the faithful of Israel to gather and to be instructed before the greatest conflagration ever known to human history, that is the tribulation. Good morning, this is Martin Zunder. We have a series going on here on the Book of Revelation, ongoing since 2014. I'm your host from my laundry room studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, I came to understand yesterday concerning the Laodiceans that they're a lukewarm ecclesia, and God hates something that's neither hot nor cold. He hates that middle ground. He hates birds that don't land. They get shot out of the air, these birds. But that's not all with the Laodiceans. Verse 17 of Revelation 3. Seeing that you are... Oh, one of the other reasons he's about to spew them out of his mouth, besides their lukewarmness. Seeing that you are saying that rich am I, and rich have I become, and of nothing have I need. And you are not aware that you are wretched, and forlorn, and poor, and blind, and naked. Wow. Poor and blind and naked. I think of the name it and claim it ministries. Ministries like Joel Osteen's, who say they're rich. They think they're rich. They think they have all sorts of spiritual wealth, and yet they're blind. They're bankrupt spiritually. They have no idea who God is, who Christ is. They hold these demonic teachings, but they look like they're all set up. They look like they have it all. People think they can have it all. People look like they have it all, but they don't. They have nothing. The Pharisees. Great example. And again, we just have modern day Pharisees. The personalities are the same, only the names have changed. And they might look differently, but not really. They still look down their noses at you. The Pharisees thought they were so sufficient in themselves. They told that guy who was healed from blindness by our Lord, "You are completely born in sin, and you're trying to teach us?" Remember, he told those guys, "Who's ever heard of anybody healing the blind? How can you say this is not a man from God? How can you say that, you Pharisees?" And this guy was a, quote, nobody, unquote, no reputation. He was an also-ran at the synagogue. And these priests who thought they were the first place winners of God's favor, they thought they were so sufficient, so sinless. "You're born in sin. You are born in sin." They're saying that as if they weren't. That's the whole thing. You're born in sin, wholly in sin, I believe they said. And you're telling us, you're trying to teach us, the doctors of religion, and they put him out of the synagogue. And that was a terrible thing. The synagogue, you know, was a great supportive function. It was a social place to get reinforced socially, have your personality stroked a little bit. And man, if you were outside the synagogue, you had to find other means of sustaining yourself. And that's where you banded with the misfits, like David in the caves with his mighty men. They were a band of misfits. The island of misfit toys. I've used that analogy before. Yes, I use other analogies other than the Wizard of Oz. I use the island of misfit toys and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The choo-choo with square wheels. The Charlie in the box. The elephant with pink polka dots. The doll that doesn't cry. All these poor, wretched souls yearning to breathe free. They find fellowship outside of the synagogue, outside of the mainstream. And there they find, shockingly, Jesus Christ himself. Yes, Jesus Christ himself is on the island of misfit toys. And the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus, comes in and rescues them. They're ready to go to bed. Another year of disappointment. Another year of never being attended to. Another year of never being sent to a child and to be loved and wanted. And just when they're ready to go to bed, Charlie in the box, "It's time for another year of disappointment. Appointment, off we go." Oh, there's a goldfish there somehow. What does he do? Swims in circles? I don't know. Something, there's grape jelly somewhere in that scene. I don't remember what role grape jelly plays. "Here we go, another year being rejected." And he's ready to crank down his little box. His name's Charlie, not Jack. That's what makes him a misfit. Who wants a Charlie in the box? Nobody wants a Charlie in the box. Yes, I guarantee you there are children in the world who want what you have, my friend. And then as they're ready to call it another year. Ting, 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 ting. Yes, they hear the sleigh bells. Santa is coming to the island of misfit toys. He has not forgotten the small people, the forgotten ones, the real people, the people in touch with their souls, people who are honest, people who don't put on pretensions, flawed by design, every damn one of them. And they're visited by the man himself, the Northpolean, the great one, the ancient one, Kris Kringle, the great magnate of the North, Santa Claus. He has not forgotten them. Well, Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, was on the island of misfit toys. He fellowshipped with choo-choos with square wheels, with Charlies in the box, with dollies that couldn't cry, elephant with pink spots, weird fish. Man, I so feel that union with you. I really do. It is so great to be on this island. It is so great to be fellowshipping with people of like mind who know what they are. And they're not like the Pharisees who say that they have no sin. They're like the poor sinner of that parable, the publican, who is beating his chest, knowing who he is as a human being, realizes he has nothing to offer God. I think of another Christmas special, The Little Drummer Boy. I've mentioned this to you before, but it's been a couple years, so I think I'm able to mention it again. Christmas fable, the drummer boy wasn't actually there, although who knows. I like to think that he was. The drummer boy was actually at the creche in Bethlehem. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. He didn't have gold. He didn't have frankincense. He didn't have myrrh. Did not come from a far off country. Was not a noble. Was a kid with a drum. And he played his drum for Jesus. Mary nodded. The ox and lamb kept time. And I played my drum for him. And I played my best for him. And then he smiled at me. Me and my drum. That's the highest spiritual relationship you can have with Jesus Christ. And I think that's probably why I bare my soul once in a while and show you a little bit. People always ask me, Martin, do you mind if I ask you a personal question? Do you mind if I ask you a personal question? And my standard answer is, that's all I've got time for. Who the hell has time for anything except personal questions? What are we going to do? Talk about the weather? Talk about the Patriots? Talk about politics? That's all I got time for is personal questions. And so the greatest relationship you can have with Jesus Christ is the one in which he looks into your soul, the one in which you bear everything to him. And you're not careful. Jesus hates people who are careful. That's why he ate corn on the Sabbath. That's why he healed people on the Sabbath. He did things that he, quote, was not supposed to do. Because he didn't color inside the lines. He didn't behave in accord with the prefabricated standards of the mainstream religious hierarchy, did he? No. He drank. He laughed. He slept outside. He didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes have dens, The birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Wrap your head around that. So where did he sleep at night? Slept on the island of misfit toys with other misfits. Do you know what he was doing on the Sea of Galilee that day? He's walking along the Sea of Galilee. There are hundreds and hundreds of fishermen, men of the sea, common men, plain men, simple men. I give you Peter. And he's praying to God before that. And I don't know the exact words of his prayer, but he's praying that God would show him who to choose from among those men. And he's wandering along the perimeter of the Sea of Galilee, looking for the next rulers of earth. He's looking for men who will, in the future, rule the earth. He finds Peter and his brother Andrew. They tell him about other guys. He goes to the tax office. Finds a hated man named Matthew. He's choosing the next rulers of the world. The principles of the coming kingdom. Who will sit with him in Jerusalem. Presidents, vice presidents, viceroys, senators, governors, presidents, kings, priests, from among the offscouring of humanity. And when they were on earth, they were an exclusive little club that was hated. Hated by the popularity club. Oh, the popularity club. If you're still in the popularity club, you've got to get out of it. And people wonder, but Martin, if I leave church, where will I fellowship? I need accountability, don't I? Everybody tells me I need people over me. I got some accountability for you. Here it is. How about Jesus Christ? How about Jesus Christ as the head of the body? And now you want to know where to go? Well, you come out of the mainstream church, the popularity club. You come out of Beatlemania. And you go to the island of misfit toys. Speaking of Beatlemania, you know where the best rock and roll bands are today? If your answer is Madison Square Garden, you're wrong. If your answer is the O2 in London, you're wrong. The best rock and roll bands today are in a garage in Chicago or in Seattle. They're in somebody's mom's basement in Dallas. That's where the best rock and roll band is today. Unheralded, unsung, playing pure, unfiltered, from the gut music. Before the corporate polish, before the multi-million dollar studios, before the agents, before the public relations people, before the makeup artists. That's where the truth lies. Hey, pray to God you're never discovered, okay? Boy, oh boy, did I ever want to be discovered back in the early 90s when I was coming into my power as a writer and writing for newspapers and getting published, getting paid. I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be discovered. I was discovered by an editor at the Cleveland Plain Dealer. But thank God that was the extent of it. I wanted more. I wanted to make a wave in New York. Publishing capital of the world. Little did I know that I was reaching for I was reaching for a star, but it was a little sticker of a star on a wall, a little mobile in a baby's bedroom, hanging above the crib. Little did I know, my real destiny, the greater purpose for my writing, which is to feed the body of Christ from a laundry room in relative anonymity on the island of misfit toys, writing to other misfits, the greatest calling of my life. I was reaching for a little paste-on star that glows in the dark when you turn the lights off. Instead, what visited me were the stars of heaven. And you as well, my fellow members of the body of Christ, my friends, all these things that we at one time thought were gained, that we thought we wanted, that we thought we needed to be happy, to be content, to feel good about ourselves. Like Saul the Pharisee, we have looked back on these things, and you can thank God today that you did not obtain them. Here's the wisdom of the prayer. Lord, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, but thy will be done. That's the wisdom of the prayer. Thy will be done. Good job. Keep saying that. That's the most vital part of any prayer. Hand it over to the one who knows you better than you know yourself. You're asking for a bauble. You're asking for a frickin' sticker. And his plan is to give you the world. Don't limit him. Not that you could. In theory. In theory, you're reaching for toys. You're reaching for perishable things. You're reaching for that which moth eats, rust destroys, armies conquer, poverty removes, discouragement decimates. Do you really want that? Are you sure? You sure you want the temporary thing? All flesh is grass. It withers. It dies. And it doesn't take much for it to do that. Grass lives on a very thin line of sustainability, doesn't it? Temperature goes this way or that way, a few degrees, it's dead. The wind blows too hard, it's dead. Why would you reach for that? You buy a new car, that's great. That's great. All you think about is not getting a scratch on it. Then you get your first scratch, now you can relax. Guess what? You're loaded with scratches. And you know what? That's a good thing, because now you can relax. Yeah, now you can relax. Like the polka dot elephant. Yeah, he was a little troubled. Had some image issues, rightly so. Pink polka dots, ooh. But he, along with his fellow islanders, received the greatest gift. They were visited by the Great One. Private audience. I'm not talking about coming down your chimney at night while you're sleeping. No, private audience. Personal relationship with the North Polian. That's what we have with Christ. That the Great Ones know nothing about. The Great Ones of this eon. The chiefs of this present darkness. Wow, you're chief? Of what? Oh, this present darkness? I'm sorry to hear that. Wow, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody, but I'm a nobody of the future glory. What would you rather be, a chief of the present darkness or a nobody of the future glory? I know what I'm picking, and it's the better thing.